Hello, my name is Tommy Beale and I'm from Bootle.
Tommy, what was it like in Bootle when you were a kid?
Well, when the war broke out in 1939, September 1939, I was evacuated to Southport at the age of 7. When we got to Southport, we used to put a label on your coat and your buttonhole with your name and address. And they walked us up and down Lord Street in Southport for people to take you in. And we were evacuated because in 39 they thought the war was going to really get going. So everyone was taken in these different houses in Southport. And the one I was in, there were 17 kids in the one house. Well, we were all in twos, so there must have been one kid or one person on his own. Because 17, because we always used to say that there were 17 in the house in Southport, you know. The school I went to, St. Rob Bellarmine's, the whole school, they were trying to fit into another school in Southport, which was impossible, because we already had the Southport kids in there. So they fitted us up in the hall. So you had kids from the age of 5 to the age of 14, all in the one hall. So then the headmaster of our school was a Mr. O'Brien. And then he brought these postcards out with stamps on. And he said, send a postcard home, let your parents know who you are. So he had these postcards with a penny stamp on, George the Sixth, on the stamp. So, and he had these, there was no such thing as a fountain pen. It was a piece of wood, and you put your own nib in. Yeah, did you ever see anything like that? And they had an inkwell. So even at the age of 7, whether it was the... Oh, he said to me, where do you live? I said, 29 Johnson Avenue. So he said, okay, put that down. So I've dipped the pen in the ink. So whether it was the shock of getting evacuated, or it was like a time lock, you couldn't put nothing down. So I said to him, how'd you write 29 at the age of 7? I said, how'd you write 29? Anyway, he said, I'll help you with that. So he put his hand on top of my hand to write 29. And as he's trying to write 20, I'm sort of like fighting, and my hand's going a different way than his. So after we got 29 on the card, he said, okay, Johnson Avenue now. So I thought, he said, well, it took us half an hour to write 29. And then we run out of ink. So eventually we got Johnson Avenue somehow, I don't know how, Arnold, Bootle. And then I'm jumping ahead here. In 1980, I found that card, that postcard, you know, in my mother's old house, you see, 1980. And I looked at it, and there's no way I could see that would have reached our house, you know, because you couldn't read it. You couldn't read the address. So I reckon the head teachers probably put it through the letterbox, you know. And then the house we stayed at, this is uncanny, this. There was another two kids with the same name. There was a Tommy Whelan and a Matt Whelan. No relation. And because you were in this big house, you used to get the health authorities visiting you to make sure that, you know, you were clean, healthy, had a bath. And they put a rotor on the wall, what day for certain, you know, to have a bath. And we're having two of us with the same name. The nurse would come in, health nurse, you know, and she'd give you a bath. So you were trying to tell her that you'd already had your bath the day before, because there was two Tommy Whelans there, you see. And she'd say, oh yeah, I've heard that one before. You know how kids don't like to have a wash, do they? So, do you like having a wash? So, there'd be sometimes you'd have two baths in a week, and probably the other Tommy Whelan, he'd be arguing, saying he's already had his bath. So he'd end up having two bats. So anyway, after a while, nothing was happening. There was no bombing in 39. And all the kids wanted to come back. So eventually all the kids came back, you know, to Bootle.
Mr. Burns.
What?
Mr. Burns.
Yeah, well, those days, at the age of 7, you never even went out the street. You know what I mean? So to be taken away, you didn't know where Southport was. And you thought it was thousands and thousands of miles away. You didn't know where. I mean, today you could take a kid of 7 or 8 to America. He wouldn't bat an eyelid, would he? But you never went out your street. And when they said, why are we being evacuated? They say, well, we're at war. But war didn't mean nothing. We didn't even know what that meant. You know now with all the television and Iraq and everything. We didn't even know what that name meant. War, what's war to a kid? See, you'd never come across it. So anyhow, we all eventually got fed up and came back. And then 1940, they started bombing. So we still stayed home. And my dad was in the ARP. And, you know, to boost the morale of kids, they used to have kids' parties, you see. So my dad took me and my brother to the Metropole, Stanley Road. This was in 1941. And you got an orange, an apple, and a bag of sweets. And then there was like a pantomime on. And then, and then 5 days later, this place was bombed and flattened to the ground. A lot of people at the same time, we caught this place, the co-op, and there was a cellar underneath there, and people thought they were safe by hiding in the cellar, and they were crushed with all the, with the building collapsing. That was in Bootle.
Where about was down on Stanley Road?
Right opposite the Triad. That's where the Metropole would be, right opposite the Triad. Do you remember the post office being there not so long ago? Well, it was in that same spot.
There now is the Chippy.
Well, years later, that space, it was hard to believe that there was a theatre in that space, because it wasn't very wide, you know. It's hard to believe, but you can see the amount of windows going up. It was like that, but the amount of space, floor space, you'd hardly believe a theatre was there, you know. So we escaped that lot. And then in May, the following year, all the men, the ARP, took all the kids to the Broadway. It was called the Broadway Cinema then. Later on, it became the Bootleodian. So then it was called the Broadway Cinema. So because that was bombed, all the air raid wardens and their kids, they were taken to the Broadway Cinema, which is just further along in the North Park, you know. Still in Bootle. Anyway, same thing again. We had an apple and orange and bag of sweets, and there was a stage show on and that. And a couple of days later, that was bombed. The Broadway Cinema. And it stayed closed till about 1960, when they reopened it as a cinema. And they called it the Bootleodian then. Didn't bother giving it that same name, you know.
Was that on Lineker Road? Is that the one by Goddard Hall?
Yeah, it's
the snooker centre.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Did the bombers always just go for the big buildings?
Sorry, Tom, just put the mic over to Tom so we can
ask. Did the bombers just go for the big buildings? Or did they try to get everything?
No, what happened there was, they had such a long journey to travel, you know, from Germany, these bombers, so that they needed enough fuel to get back again to Germany. So once they thought they were over the docks, they just dropped the bombs, turned around and headed home. So them bombs just hit anything. They were after the docks where the ships were. For speed, they just dropped them. They're in the northwest, that's the target, and away they went. So them bombs hit houses, well, didn't really You know, there was no point really to them houses. And when a bomb did drop, it was, you know, these houses were built, they were so old that a bomb could drop streets and streets away. And the blast would collapse them houses because they were so old. They were built in the Victorian days. And the blast would kill a person as well, even if he was nowhere near where the bomb dropped, you know. My dad was in the ARP, and he was attached to air raid precaution. And he was attached to the ambulance brigade, because he knew something about first aid and that, you know. And then if a house got hit, they'd try and see if there was any survivors, you know, move the bricks and try and pull them out. Well, he would pull them out, he wouldn't try. And if there was anyone dead, they started using the bats to put the dead. They used Balliol Road bats, because there's no water in it, obviously. And then they had mice laying bats. And, yeah. And then they were laying the bodies in these bats as mortuaries, you know, temporary mortuaries. Because they couldn't cope, you know, with so many people getting killed, you know, in one night type of thing, you know. And we had an air raid shelter in the garden, and a tin air raid shelter. And every time the air raid warden siren went, you'd get in the shelter and stay there maybe 8 hours or whatever until the all clear went, and then you'd come back up. But my mother had a sister just towards Bank Hall, still in Bootle, and they went in the tin air raid shelter, and when the all clear came, their house was flattened. Absolutely flattened. If they'd have been in that house, they wouldn't have survived, you know. And then they moved them to Speke, because Speke at the time was a new housing estate. And that's where he went. Yeah, he went to school, the family went to school in Speke. And she lived till she was 95. I mean, after that house getting flattened, she survived that. And everything that went with it, you know. Shortage of food. Shortage of everything.
Just the memories of the house, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a fairly old type of house. It wouldn't take much for blast, I think, knocked it down, you know. And then there was the... I told you about... when they really started bombing again. Well, we'd been home for the Christmas Blitz. We were home for the May Blitz. So all the kids, the government decided then that we'd have to send the kids away again. So my brother wanted to go to Wales, but because his mate in the street wanted to go to Wales, so he went to Wales. And I had no say in the matter. And I went to, sent me to St. Helens, Haydock and Earlestown. And I went to school in Earlestown. I don't know how long for.
Tom, what would it be like in the... What kind of education would you have?
Secondary modern, which wasn't much, was it, really? Secondary modern. I told you the trouble I had trying to write... At the age of 7, trying to write down 29. How do you spell 29? I said, you don't spell it, you write it down. Anything else you want to ask me?
Is there anything else that you want to add on to anything that you've been saying?
The Crescent is it's by Bootle Cemetery, Moss Lane, and Mr. Morton, he owned that shop, and he also lived opposite, which is the corner Bailey Drive and Moss Lane. They sold milk and eggs, bacon if you could get it, but then everything was on ration.
What year was this?
Well, from the 40s onwards, everything was on ration. I don't think rationing came off till about 5 years after the war. The war finished in 45, so 55, I think we were still on ration. Also, there was no street lights. You know, like, do you have street lights today? Everywhere you go, everywhere is well lit up. Well, previous to the war, all the street lights were gas.
And they'd be off because they know where you were.
And then the blackout, everything was a blackout, yeah. Well, that's why when he was asking me early on, they weren't hitting these tall buildings because the northwest was absolutely blacked out. So when the German planes came over, they couldn't see nothing either. But they knew they were over the northwest, and the idea was to just drop them and then return to Germany so that as fast as otherwise you'd run out of fuel. That's why a lot of unusual places got hit, which were of no consequence, really. You know, a theatre and a picture house. That's why. But the worst thing was incendiary bombs. And the other thing is, during the war, adults, everyone had to do something. If you're an adult, you had to do something. You had to get called up if you were 18. If you were too old, you'd be in the ARP. Civil defence, even young girls, 18, they put them in the munitions factory in Kirby.
Is that where they made all the
guns? Yeah, in Kirby, yeah. And if you didn't want to do that, they made you a land army girl then.
Yeah,
it's a land army. What?
Landlady, that's what my name was.
No, this is a land army. And they had a little uniform, you know, like these riding pants and gaiters, and they wore green jumpers and that, and they looked like Australian bush hats, and they worked on the land, and everyone had to do something. If you had a wooden leg or one eye, you still had to do something. And they had these incendiary bombs, and when they dropped and hit anything, they'd just explode and go on fire. So that's when they brought out, they used to put people, if you were too old to go in the forces or anything like that, they put you on top of all these buildings, warehouses and churches and factories. And if an incendiary bomb came, hit the factory or whatever, they were there right away to put it out. And you could put it out with sand, and they had buckets of sand on top of these places. And as soon as an incendiary hit and burst into flame, you'd smother it with a bucket of sand. It was as simple as that. If one hit where you weren't, or there was no, well, it would just burn the place down. The strange thing was, although you were terrified as a kid, you didn't understand this war. The next day, when the all clear went, you went collecting shrapnel. You'd take this shrapnel to school and you'd swap it. And if this other kid had a bigger piece of shrapnel than you, you'd be jealous because his shrapnel is bigger than yours.
What's shrapnel?
Okay, shrapnel is when a bomb explodes and metal goes all over the place. And then you'd collect all this metal that had exploded. And the other thing was this incendiary had like a fin. And if you picked the fin up, that used to make it spin as it dropped, this fin. And if you picked one of them up, took it to school, you know, and all your mates were jealous because a piece of shrapnel was just a jagged piece of metal. But we had the fin, you know, like everyone had been made up because, oh, look what he's got, you know. And you've only got these. And you didn't understand. But you were collecting this metal that had been dropped as a bomb the night before, and you never give it a thought because you were just kids. And when a house got bombed and they cleared it, a couple of days later you'd be in that bombed house, you know, climbing over the bricks and yeah, you know, going through it and that. And the other thing was food was scarce, and the government wanted everyone to grow food because food was scarce and the ships were getting sunk by the Germans, you know, the merchant ships. So even if you had a garden, you had to grow something. This was a government thing. You had to grow potatoes or cabbages or carrots, anything you could grow in the ground, you know, you had to grow. What? Oh, you couldn't grow that. The farmer would have to grow wheat, you know. And then the other thing was everyone grew rhubarb. In fact, I think the rhubarb was wild. Do you know what rhubarb is? You grow it in the garden. You can make rhubarb pie. You don't. No, they were long sticks. Rhubarb was long sticks. Yeah. Well, you can make pies with it. You didn't never add rhubarb? No?
Is it around today?
Yeah. It's around today, yeah. They grow them on the allotments. Very tall. Looks like a cabbage to start with, but the stems are red. It seemed to grow wild. Everyone seemed to have it in the garden during the war. You could make rhubarb pie, or you could have it in a dish, put something on it. That's if you could get the flour. I'm going to crack a joke here about this rhubarb. So, where I lived, there was a kid a bit further up the street from me, and every time a horse and car passed, he used to come out with a bucket and spade and collect the horse manure. Because during the war, you never saw a car, very few cars about. And every time a horse and car went up the street, this kid had come out with a bucket and a shovel and collecting this horse manure. And I got a bit curious, and one day I went up to him and I said, "What do you collect this horse manure for?" And he said, "Me dad puts it on our rhubarb." So I said to him, "You want to come to our house?" I said, "Me man puts custard on ours." He looked at me a bit strange. Then, well, he, well, it helped.
What's horse? Whatever it is.
Horse manure.
Yeah.
It makes things grow. It's like a natural fertilizer.
It's horse poo.
Horse manure. Yeah.
Big dollops of it in the streets.
Yeah, if you want to see it, go and then go watch that.
Yeah.
Well, it makes things grow, you see.
Put it on your vegetables. Seriously.
Well, yeah, but you don't, once it takes off, no, you wouldn't be able to taste it. You can put it, they used to put it around rhubarb, the root, or around your cabbage or carrots. It helps it to grow. It's fertilizer. It's natural fertilizer. Like today, you have what you call a grow bag. And if you put tomato seeds in that grow bag, well, you know, you have massive tomatoes. Well, the same thing, during the war, you could put horse manure on your tomato plants, and it would help them to grow.
Well,
well, I'm sure they must have done rhubarb in school.
I haven't.
School dinners. Did you have rhubarb? Yeah.
I never tasted.
Didn't you? Well, another thing, I'll tell you. The other thing during the war, my dad had a certificate for first aid. That's why he was in ARP and helping to, you know, bring the injured out of houses. If they broke an arm or a leg, he could, you know, he could fix it up, put a splint on it. If it was a wound, well, that's too serious then. And at home, he had a picture of framed, and it was this first aid certificate and a medal. And when I was a kid, I used to say to my dad, "What did you get the medal for, Dad?" And my dad said, "Falling off a roof." And I used to just accept that, you know. It's like he couldn't be bothered explaining it. And I used to bring kids in, you know, bring me mate in, and I say, "You see that medal up there?" And the kid would say, "Yeah." I'd say, "That's me dad's." And the kid would say, "What did his dad get that medal for?" And I'd say, "Falling off a roof." And the kid would go, "Wow." And even he accepted. That's how naive we were them days. And my dad said, got that thought. Just he couldn't be bothered explaining it, you see.
In these days, they just go
ahead, right? Yeah. He just couldn't bother explaining it. Fall off. I go, oh, did you? Oh, yeah. And the other kids had swallowed the same story as well.
Say, if you say it now, you wouldn't get the acceptance, would you?
You wouldn't get a proper answer, would you? No. I mean, if your dad jumped in the canal and saved someone, got a certificate, and you didn't know about it, and later on you saw that certificate, and he said, what did you get that for, Dad? He'd probably be too, you know, he probably wouldn't brag about it, would he? You know.
Canal,
yeah, he probably wouldn't. Well, that's
if
how...
If
he told you the truth, you wouldn't believe him.
No.
Would you?
No.
Got a couple of minutes left now.
Yeah, we've got a couple of minutes, so is there anything that you want to say, anything that you really want to say? Any special memories, Dad? Any special memories of Bootle in them days?
Oh, after the war, 1945, they had street parties, so, you know, to try and boost morale up of the kids, you know, after going through the war. And there was parties all over Bootle. There's lots of pictures now, isn't there, of street parties of after the war, yeah. So I look forward to that anyway, the kids' parties.
My name's Dominic Barlow, and I'm going to give it to Tom Hughes, and he's going to sign off for me. Thanks.
This is Tommy Wheeler, News at 10, New Brighton.
Stand here with Dominic Barlow.